Orville Freestone Jr., Sunday PM, April 14th, 2013.
Tonight we come to the sixth compound name of God, or perhaps more likely titles for the Lord God, which were ways in which he revealed himself to his people in the ordinary events of their life. And that's the way he will reveal himself to you, too, is in the ordinary events of your ordinary life as you live it. The sixth name or title of God that we will consider tonight is Jehovah Roi, and you will recognize it as one of the beloved terms for the Lord, and it's in a passage that is one of the most well-known in the world, and which you can probably quote from memory. It is the first verse of the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Jehovah Roi, the Lord my shepherd. Or the Lord is my shepherd. In the English version, the is in italics. It does not appear in the Hebrew because it's not necessary in the Hebrew. They do not use normally the present tenses of the verb to be. So it is both a title, the Lord my shepherd. It is also a truth, the Lord is my shepherd. And I am confident that David did not write this psalm when he was a lad herding his father's sheep. This psalm was born out of experience, out of a lifetime of experience and reflection. Indeed, the prophet Nathan, in chiding David, said, "The Lord took you from the sheepcote to make you the shepherd of his people." And I'm sure that that made David consider his relationship with the Lord. This psalm is unusual in that in the Old Testament, it expresses a personal relationship with God. This is something that is not emphasized among Christians anymore. Just a general, accept the Lord, and you're in, and you're okay. But this psalm expresses a personal relationship with the Lord. And it is a relationship expressed in the terms of the experience of one of his sheep. Notice the personal pronouns. I, me, I, me, mine, and me. All of these express David's personal involvement in his relationship with the Lord. But also, note the other personal pronouns in here. He, his, thou, expressing God's relationship with David. And in expressing this personal relationship, it is in the figure of a shepherd and his sheep, and David was very well acquainted with that. David was the youngest of many brethren, and as the youngest, herding sheep was his job. Probably had been passed down from brother to brother until he was the last. His his eldest brother was old enough to be a grandfather when David experienced this in his youth. And we see here the reflections of an older person on the early years of his life. Do you ever reflect on the earlier years of your life? Do you ever stop to think who you were then and who you are now and how far the Lord has brought you in the years? As a lad, during the Depression, we used to glean in the fields of a kindly Christian. And I can remember picking those green beans, and those rows just went on forever. Or in those tomatoes, and where were the clouds in the sky? And one time I was complaining about how long the row was that I was picking, and my dad says, "Look back down the row and see how far you've come." That's a good thing for all of us to do. And I have seen the shepherds on the Navajo reservation, and they are children from about this high on up. It was a task given to the children because the parents were busy. And I'm sure this was David's experience too. But in looking over his past, he could see how every need of his sheep were provided by him. And he records it here. Read it through with me as I read it. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." What an interplay between two in intimate communion. And he does mention here the needs of the sheep and that they are fulfilled, the green pastures and the still waters. I've heard it said that a sheep will not drink from flowing water. They will only drink from water that is still. "He leadeth me beside still waters, and he leads me in the paths of righteousness." He here remembers how he provided the waters for his sheep and how he led them in paths safely through the desert, where he led his sheep, family sheep, in the deserts of Judea. And just as he led his sheep safely through dangerous paths, just so God led him in paths of righteousness, not to David's credit, but for his name's sake. "Yes, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," this is often referred to a person who is preparing to die. He's going to go through the valley of the shadow, but this is not what David had in mind. And I don't think that there is any valley of the shadow of death in the Holy Land, or at least I haven't heard of it. But he is saying here, though, the shepherd led him in very dangerous paths, even in the shadow of death, even to being attacked by a bear and a lion. For his name's sake, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And if God is with you, you have no reason to fear. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I always wondered about this, and I smile when I think about what I used to think. Did he use his rod to beat his sheep? But no, I read since then in a little book written by a Syrian who had been a shepherd himself in his youth, and he said that the rod is carried by the shepherd as a club to fend off predators from the sheep. But he also used it as they go along to plug up the snake holes along the path to protect his sheep from danger. And the staff was the shepherd's own staff for walking. But yes, Brother Crook, you're right. The shepherd's staff had a crook on it. And it was so shaped that it would fit just under the front hocks of a sheep, so that if he tumbled off the path, and some of them were on ledges in the Judean desert, that he could reach down with that long staff and hook it under the forelegs of the sheep and pull him back up. I'm sure that was a comfort to David. God's rod and staff comforting and protecting and caring for him. And I read in one commentary, and now the scene changes into the palace. Thou preparest a table before me. No, he's still out on the range. He's still out in the desert. What is a table for a sheep? Is it not a meadow? He prepares the table by plugging up the snake holes, by fending off predators, by standing guard over them, and he makes sure that the grass is sufficient for his sheep. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, in the presence of the lions, in the presence of the bears, in the presence of the snakes. He's confident because the Lord has prepared for him this place for the sheep to feed. And thou anointest my head with oil. Inevitably, and the sheep are going to have cuts and bruises and wounds. The oil would be for those mishaps, and his cup runneth over. The still waters were very plentiful. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Jehovah Roi, the Lord, my shepherd. And I'm sure Jesus had this psalm in mind when, as John records in the 10th chapter of his gospel, Jesus discourse with his disciples, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. And this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. And all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. And as I said, I'm sure that Jesus had the 23rd Psalm in mind when he said this. But just as the 23rd Psalm is from the viewpoint of the sheep, here, this discourse is from the viewpoint of the shepherd, looking after his sheep. He's referring, to two different kinds of sheepfolds here, and a third kind of a sheepfold later. First, he's referring to the village fold, where all of the shepherds of that village would shelter their sheep at night, and they would hire a person whom our translation here calls a porter to care for the sheep overnight while they're home. Shepherds are home. And he said, He that entereth not by the door of the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. And he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter oweth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth them his own sheep by name, and they lead him out. And this same fellow who wrote this little book, The Song of the Syrian Guest, said that this in among the Bedouins is the same today. They have community shelters for the sheep near the town. And when the shepherd comes, there are sheep from many different flocks in that shelter. But the shepherd will call his own sheep, each one by name, and they will pick up their ears and they will run to him, and the other sheep will pay no attention to him, and he will lead them out to pasture, and the other shepherds will do the same way. So Jesus is emphasizing here, if you belong to the Lord, you know it. And if you will listen to the Lord, you will recognize his voice, for he will speak to you. And as all of these lessons emphasize, it is in the ordinary events of our ordinary lives that we hear the voice of the Lord. And once you hear the voice of the Lord, not audibly, generally, but you know that you have heard from the Lord, And that's what he's referring to here. This is the test of those who belong to the Lord and those who don't. They will not respond to another shepherd, but only to their own. And he puts forth his sheep and goes before them. A stranger they will not follow. They won't follow the wrong shepherd because they know their name and they know the voice of their shepherd. And then further down, he says, he says he is the good shepherd, but here he says he's the door of the sheep. Now he's referring to a different kind of sheepfold. And when we were in Israel, we were passed by a group of Bedouin shepherds, and they had their flocks around them, and they were in the desert. They were away from their village. And this same fellow that wrote this little book that I was referred to said that there are throughout Judea and Syria and Jordan little enclosures, mostly built of earth, that are made high walls made out of earth. And it is a complete wall all around with but one opening. And the shepherd, when he has his sheep overnight in the wilderness, he will put his sheep into this shelter. And when they are all settled down for the night, he will lie down in this opening. He is the door. And if any climbs up over it, it's a thief and a robber, and he knows it. But no one can enter that fold through the door without stepping over him. And if he happens to be asleep, it'll awaken him. This is what Jesus meant. He's the shepherd, but he's also the door, expressing the security of his sheep in the fold. He's the door, and he sees that they stay in the fold. The Apostle Paul would express it this way: they are in Christ, in the fold, and he is the door. And then he speaks about the hireling shepherd. One day, many years ago, I was driving across the Zuni Reservation, and I knew the road well. I came to a broad curve in the road, and on one side of the road, there was a grove of that pestiferous tree that we've imported from Asia, salt cedar. It was quite an extensive grove of salt cedar, and it blocked my vision of the road beyond the beginning of the curve. And I was driving the speed limit, 35 miles an hour, and as soon as I turned around this curve, I saw a large flock of sheep right in the road, right in front of me. I could not stop in time. And it was disheartening to hear those tiny bones of those sheep crunch under the wheels of my car. So I stopped, and the rest of the sheep just scattered everywhere. The tribal police station is about a half mile down the road, so I drove down to the police station and reported it. And the police said, well, I gave him my information, and he said, do you have insurance for it? And I said, yeah. He says, well, they're just old range sheep. They won't be very expensive for your insurance company, but I want you to know that when my insurance paid for those sheep, they were registered stock. But he said, I know that flock. I know that shepherd. He went home for lunch, leaving his sheep untended. He will hear from me. The hireling fleeth when he sees the wolf, because he is a hireling. He has no interest in the sheep. There are many hireling shepherds in the Christian church today. Many hireling shepherds who are there for the career. And it better have a stipend. It is the responsibility to the sheep to know the voice of the Lord through whomever they trust to be their shepherd. As Brother Kirk referred to this morning, always test the words of anyone who would be your spiritual leader. And this is the test by which you should test them. So the good shepherd, like any good shepherd, provides for the protection of his sheep, for the guidance of his sheep. Not only will the Lord protect you, he will guide you. And for their provisions, to see that they have still waters, to see that they have grass or provender. The Lord protects us more than we commonly realize. How do you know what never happened? You'd have no way of knowing oftentimes how the Lord has protected you. But sometimes you know because it's dramatic. I've told this story a number of times. Many of you will remember it well, but I'm going to take the liberty of telling it again. Once I was driving across the reservation, just leaving the mission hospital there, and as I started for town, it was about noon, I suddenly became very, very tired. I mean, more tired than I had ever known to be. And so I pulled off the road, lay down on the seat of the car. You could do that in the front seats of the car. Then they were bench seats. That tells you how long ago it was. And I went promptly to sleep. And then later, I woke with a start. Just 5 minutes later, I felt refreshed. Drove on down the road, and there was a terrible accident just 5 miles down the road. He protects his own. Spiritually, physically, and if in any way something happens to us that we wonder why he didn't protect us, we can be sure he had a reason for it. But just be sure you listen to for the shepherd's voice, because you will only hear it if you're listening.